Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring day sort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
All right, welcome in to your continuing coverage of the exodus of one, the flight of Scott Satterfield out of Louisville here. We've done so many of these now over the years, either coaches leaving or some sort of absurd breaking news around here. I know that Scott Snyder earlier in the day tweeted the timeline of just the shenanigans around Louisville, and you can just add it to the list here. As Scott Satterfield out the door, we between this extra coverage here with me and with Andy Sweeney, we cracked open the Scott Satterfield commemorative Angels Envy bottle, and we all took one shot before we came on the air here. So we're ready for this. We're ready for what everyone has to think. Is Andy there, or are we going to bring him in, or what? Do we have him? Okay, when he gets here, we'll have Andy Sweeney here as well. We are simulcasting, correct, on both stations here?
That is correct.
All right, so if you want to get in, 267-9680 is the number if you want to get in here. And we're going to have continuing coverage really all night with a collection of guys. I know Ethan Moore is going to get in here as well. And on 93.9, we have jettisoned Cardinal Insider and Scotty D tonight, correct? Yeah, we're sort of we're past all that, right? It's just going to be local here because that's kind of what we do here. That's what we do when these things happen. You guys know that we're going to give you extra and continuing coverage, and today is no different at all here. So if you want to get in, 267-9680. As the news that broke this morning, Scott Satterfield taking off. And I think it's fair to say after listening to interviews with Scott and his press conference there in Cincinnati and hearing Josh Hurd today, that Louisville was in the position of not being justified in giving Scott a raise and not really in a great spot to fire him. And so given those options, Louisville, I think, when Satterfield and Josh Hurd had conversations for the last couple of days or Friday and Saturday, it was pretty clear that Louisville was probably going to keep him but not going to give him a raise, that Scott went and looked elsewhere. And I don't know if this is just advice from an agent. You know, I don't know where he is on all of that, on why he would think that necessarily. But quickly, I think, went out and found himself a landing spot at Cincinnati, where they committed 6 years to him, and now Louisville is back in the market for a coach. And I think we all probably know at this point that Louisville's not only in the market for a coach, but probably in the market for a specific coach, one who is the coach at Purdue. I think by far my favorite thing that's happened so far today is Scott saying that he cannot wait to partake in the nightlife in Cincinnati. I laughed. Who says nightlife, first of all? Does anyone even say nightlife?
I'm trying to think about, like, just because I'm fresh out of college.
That's something my parents would
say. I was going to say, I don't remember saying, like, the nightlife, maybe, like, the town, but like, that's not even that used.
You know, in an odd way, last year I thought that the way Josh Hurd handled the exit of Chris Mack was pretty deft. It got done quickly. It got done quietly. There weren't a lot of sore feelings, and Louisville saved some money. And in this one, it seems like the solution perhaps kind of came to them. But Louisville to not have to fire Scott and be on the hook for dead money for a coach that isn't working for them. But not only to avoid that, but to have Scott leave and to perhaps get buyout money out of it. I mean, it's perhaps this might be best case scenario for everyone involved? If so, maybe Scott does well at Cincinnati. I personally, I kind of would be surprised if he's anything other than what he was here at Cincinnati. But we'll see. 267-9680 is the number if you want to get in here. We will take you guys right now, and we'll start with Bob. Bob, thanks for listening to continued coverage here. Oh, I've got to do it, don't I? Let's get Bob in here. I'm out of practice answering my own phone. Bob, thanks for waiting there, buddy. Welcome in to continuing coverage here of the Coaching Search 2022. What's up?
Hey, Mark. How are you guys doing?
All right.
Hey, I would like to thank the University of Cincinnati for getting rid of Satterfield. You know, it's so funny because you think everybody would be mad that Satterfield pulled this, and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
And that therein lies the thing with Satterfield, is he was not a good fit at Louisville. The crowd, the fandom did not like him. We weren't filling the seats. So I applaud Josh Hurd for sticking to his guns and not offering anything to Satterfield. Kind of saying, well, go take the job. And now we'll see. The time is on, you know, the time's on the clock for Hurd. And, you know, we all know who we want. Let's see if Hurd can do it. But thank you very much. I enjoy your show.
Appreciate the call there. Yeah, look, I think just like with basketball and just like really with coaching searches in general, there's not a coach candidate that is going to be unanimous, like 100%. I mean, Kenny Payne was pretty close. Chris Mack was pretty close. There were detractors. There were detractors with Kenny Payne, but not a lot. And Jeff Brohm will be pretty close to universally preferred, or as close as any one candidate can be. There will be detractors. I think there always are. And now we have a chance to almost always hear from them. But we will see who's what options emerge here. I do think if, in a way that is kind of similar to Chris Mack and his exit, you know, from Louisville, where people felt like, okay, he's leaving, he didn't understand this place, and it clearly didn't work out, and he didn't like it here. Scott is the exact same way. Never seemed particularly comfortable here. Now, Chris Mack just left coaching. Scott Satterfield is going to a place that's more like here than he might realize, it, with the exception of the scrutiny, because I think they're going to be pretty far down the old priority list in most people's eyes from where he is right now. But I think the clamoring for Jeff Brohm is on the field related. Purdue's been a lot better than before he got there. And he's a guy who understands Louisville and gets it. And I don't know what Scott could have done a whole lot different. I don't know what he could have done differently to make people think that he was more bought into this than he was, but he clearly wasn't. And people picked up on that and never let it go. This guy gave every vibe in the world that he just wasn't particularly interested in being here and didn't like it here. And I do think as we sort of start to go back and look, like, you know, when you get to the end of something and now you start doing your retrospectives and you're like, man, what was it really like? Like, well, maybe it wasn't what I thought. I think that some of the behavior of Scott, where he looked like somebody who was very, very, very even keeled, and I think sometimes for some of you who watched him, it came across based on the way people reacted to him, that he gave the vibe that he kind of didn't care that much, that he was kind of like dispassionate about how things turned out here. And I think in retrospect, what we were picking up on is he kind of didn't care. He just wanted to get out of here. And I think the exit kind of shows that. He didn't play himself or coach himself into any kind of a raise or anything. He simply got more years somewhere else at a place that was already on. It's kind of, I mean, we had Chris Vanini from The Athletic on the drive here today, who said, you know, everyone in the industry really thought Cincinnati was about to hire Kent State's head coach, who apparently is about to go leave and be the offensive coordinator at Colorado. Like, that's where Cincinnati was. This was an effort by them to save face, too. And if Josh Hurd was sort of able to discern that? Get a buyout out of it? Save face, like not have to pay a dime and not have to commit to something that, I mean, I agree with virtually everybody who has said this today that if they sat down in a meeting and Scott was basically like, I deserve a raise, props to Josh for saying, no, you don't. Now, an extension, we'll keep you at the same salary, we'll invest more in staff, whatever. That's probably what he was offered. And if Scott really thinks he was deserving of a raise, he didn't go out there and get it because Cincinnati didn't give him one. They just gave him more years. If so, he wants to restart the clock, that's fine. Let's get Evan in here. Next, Evan, thanks for waiting here, buddy. Welcome into ESPN Louisville's continued coverage of Coaching Search 2022. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, y'all? So really, it's my opinion, and my opinion doesn't matter, but I just feel like you said, we didn't really know, you know, he went 7-5. He took over a Petrino team and went 7-5, won his bowl. He had 2 years that were underperformed. I do think that I would have liked to see what he got with this upcoming class because he built a solid offensive line and he built a solid front seven. I mean, and that was a Power Five offensive line for really the last 2 years, and then the front seven was very stout. I mean, the defense, they turned it around. So I'm hoping that that's the best he is going to give, you know, 6-6, 7-5. But and then I'm also thinking, would Hurd have told him no unless Hurd, like for the raise, unless he knew for sure we had Brohm coming in? What do you all think? I mean, if he was in question about getting Brohm here, would he have easily said no to Scott for a raise and let him walk out the door this morning? What do you all think?
Yeah, I appreciate the call. It's a great question. And I don't necessarily think that means that Josh has Jeff Brohm on the hook, but I have a really good friend in media who has talked to me about coaching searches and has reassured me more times than I can remember in learning to sort of cover them and understand what's happening in them, that whenever you think an athletic director has begun to work on a coaching search, they have been working on it for much longer. And I cannot imagine, especially after the Kentucky game, that Josh Hurd didn't realize that he needed to at least be prepared for something where Scott's not the coach here next year. And I think I remember our discussions on the drive being the disappointment of not beating Kentucky this year when that opportunity was there at least opened Scott up to the possibility that Louisville would move on. And that he should at least be prepared to go into that meeting ready to explain why they should not do that. Do I think that Josh sort of calling Scott's bluff and saying, no, we're not going to extend you, we're not going to give you a raise at least, it means that he has somebody in hand already? I think it's reasonable to think that and certainly to hope that. I don't know if that's the case. I think it's really isolated. I think Josh should just look at Scott and say, like, are you looking at me with a straight face? I think you deserve more money. No, you want more time? That's a different thing. I don't think Louisville would have balked at that. But I do think that Josh at least has the confidence that if they have to go back out to the market and find someone else, that they will not suffer to do that. Like, they won't struggle to find a replacement. And I've been told that by people who, you know, talk to agents and that sort of thing too, that there's interest in this job. And that if it came open, that there were a lot of up-and-coming coaches who were looking at Louisville and saying, like, if Scott is able to work his way out of there, that that's a job that they would aspire to. I think the interesting thing for me will be, what does this fan base have an appetite for given the way that Kenny Payne has started? And I've said this a little bit today, but there were a lot of you who were very, very, very wary of Kenny Payne because he had no head coaching experience. And 8 games into his tenure, you've been justified for being wary of how that might go. And I wonder how much of a stomach all of you have for hiring a first-time head coach in this role where it's going so terribly badly for basketball, but that Louisville has a history of when they've taken their chances on guys like Charlie Strong or like Bobby his first time, it's gone quite well. And who would that person be? And we don't really know who Josh's sort of connections or his taste for candidates and their personalities and where he thinks they fit. I think it'd be different than Vince. I think it'd be different than Tom, but I don't know who it would be. There isn't anyone that's really obvious. And so we'll have to wait and see here. Let's get to Bob in here next. Two Bobs right off the top here. How about that? Bob, the other Bob. Welcome in. What's up, buddy?
So did I hear you say that Satterfield says excited to get to Cincinnati for the nightlife?
He said he is interested. He can't wait to get up there and to partake in the nightlife.
You know what the nightlife is in Cincinnati, don't you? It's a 24-hour Skyline Chili, okay? Select that, Satterfield. My God, nightlife in Cincinnati. Looks like to me he would learn from Mac that he might need to keep that kind of stuff more concealed.
Anyway, well, I don't think he means that.
I'm just saying to you, brother. I'm just saying the nightlife in Cincinnati is a 24-hour Skyline Chili. You know, I guess you could look at this case situation a couple of ways. One way is Cincinnati, I know they're going to the Big 12 or whatever it's called now. And I know that they were in the playoffs. Was it last year or year before?
Yep.
Regardless, you know, they're still in the American Football Conference as far as I remember. But I think you're right. I think Satterfield, the fans didn't like him from the minute they knew he was flirting with South Carolina. And I don't blame the U of L fans for being pissed off about that. So I don't blame him one bit. And I thought he was a pretty cool dude when he first came here, but when he started flirting with South Carolina after one season, you know, that just showed you he was all about the dollar signs. And for the record, I would like to announce that I'm a candidate for this job, and I would like Mr. Hurt to call me, and I'll take the job for half of Ways Payton Satterfield, and I will not request a buyout if I decide to leave, okay?
So appreciate it,
Bob. With that being said, put me down as a Skyline Chili Bob. See you later, man.
Skyline Chili Bob has announced his candidacy for the Louisville job as well.
He's the leading guy right now.
He's the only candidate we know, right? His agent out here just leaking stuff right on the show.
He's like Lamar. He's his own agent.
That's exactly right. How am I going to get this job? I'm going to start calling these shows. Bob sounds like he's had some of our angels envy, by the way, as well. Which is fine. We're not judging. Listen to us. Hopefully there's an us. We'll find out where Andy is when he's able to get in here. Let's see. Travis has been waiting after that. Travis, welcome into ESPN Louisville's continuing coverage of Coaching Search 2022, like it's an election. What's up?
Yeah, but you're putting that out there a little flamboyantly, considering the fact that there's only one candidate that anybody talks about. And let me just say it this way. I hope Louisville gets Brohm. And the reason I say that is, what if Brohm comes in here and is the exact same coach, which, by the way, the facts and the stats would bear that out, except for I do think that they would do better locally recruiting with Jeff Brohm in here. But if Brohm comes in here as a 5-5 or 5-6 or, you know, 6-6 or 5-7 coach or whatever, and then what? Then where are you going? What's your pivot then? Whose fault is it? Don't forget, y'all keep bringing up Chris Mack, and I'm glad you do. He was the prodigal son. He was going to save Louisville, and now they got the worst team that's ever laced them up in my lifetime. I'm 42 years old, that has ever come across here. The fact that we're calling this a national search and this, that, and the other is a joke. But I will say this. Jeff Brohm, Purdue has got $100 million extra in their conference coming next year, which means they're going to be $36 million ahead of the ACC. As far as pay scale, they're going to offer him $8 million, and Josh Hurd's already said $8, $9, $10 million. How? Two things I want your question answer on. One, how is Louisville fans going to react if Jeff Brohm turns him down for a third time? And secondly, what if he comes here and he goes 6-6 3-4 years in a row, which if he takes less money and comes here and does that, he deserves whatever he gets. The last thing I'll say is good luck. Continue to push out them 3-987 win basketball teams, Baylor and Louisville.
Yeah, I don't think that guy's actually a Louisville fan. What do you think?
Definitely sounded very trollish there.
Chris Mack was the prodigal son. Who thought that?
All we heard was, you know, his wife's from here.
His wife's from here. That was it. That was pretty much
what we had
going on.
His wife's coming home. It's not the whole, like, Kenny Payne coming home.
Look, I don't think that Jeff Brohm is the only guy who would do well at Louisville. And I also think you're kind of a boob if you want to call in and say that Jeff Brohm is the same as Sat, or that 500, he's 500 at Purdue. Purdue was a brownfield before he took over. And they've been pretty good. They've been pretty good there. So Andy has joined us here as well. Andy, I was not prepared for your the menagerie of people that listen to 680 who are going to just jump on in here, buddy.
I'm sorry. What happened? I'm sorry. I was talking to Strebel. Very important business. What was going on?
Oh, just Travis. Travis.
Oh, you got some L's down, guys?
Exactly.
Did you get some L's down? Does Satterfield give the L's down?
Well, I almost expected it at the press conference today.
Well, here's the thing.
Isn't he lucky that Cincinnati doesn't have any rivals? Now he doesn't have to worry about it.
They don't have any rivals. They're just Cincinnati in the Big 12.
That's right.
But here's the thing. Like, are we supposed to believe, Ennis, that he's not going to at all give any info to the coaching staff for the bowl game? Like, it's just a handshake agreement, like we're supposed to buy that? Ah, that's just the way it'll happen. Don't worry. I'm not going to coach either team. You guys don't have to worry about
it. It
kind of
would be perfect to find out that, like, this is where Satterfield is like, I'm going to show my ass now. Like, now this is where I'm going to be the a-hole that people wanted me to be.
Yeah, but also he said he hadn't seen the Cincinnati team. He didn't know. I'm like, is he just saying that? I mean, they do have a game coming up, right? And he knew they had a game coming up like a week ago. But of course, a week ago he was trying to find a job, which is understandable.
Well, listen, when he said that about the Cincinnati roster, it was clear. This is how you end up with. Is that the tall guy? Like he said about Florida State?
The Florida State
is that
guy.
The tall
was
one?
It Johnny Moore, was that his name? I should know. He's second team
Johnny
ACC.
Wilson, I believe.
Johnny Wilson. I knew it wasn't Johnny Moore. I mean, listen.
Between you, Andy, me, and Scott Satterfield,
no,
you knew his name.
Yeah, Spencer
yes. Knew his name. I do that game post.
Spencer's probably on like a Celtics blog right now, isn't it? He's the big Celtics guy.
We do have a game tonight.
Of course he is.
Of course you have a game tonight. It's the NBA. You play 3-4 times a night. Jax is so ready to get on the air, too. Dexter staring, is he staring a hole through your head, Ennis?
Dexter says that Travis dude never lands the dismount. It's the same dude that was arguing with Sweeney a couple weeks ago. Dude's
oh, no,
clown.
That guy. Yeah, he hates me. He said his check stub was bigger than mine. I'm like, well, yeah.
By the way, and Travis, you can't say that Chris Mack's the prodigal son. He's not from here. That can't possibly be. Like, he's never read The Prodigal Son either. He doesn't know sports or the Bible.
I love that. Or the Bible. Save that. I love this, Ennis. And listen, sorry I was late. I know you guys have talked about this. I know you did 3 hours on your show, so I'm sure you know nothing we're going to come up here is revolutionary. I mean, to me, this is just a great day. I mean, to me, it is. I just think, for me, U of L gets out from underneath Scott Satterfield. And if you go out there, Ennis, and you hire Jeff Brohm, that is a massive step forward. Okay, I'm not willing to say it puts you in the college football playoff. I'm not saying you're immediately 11-1. I don't know. Jeff Brohm will have the things that he's good at. He'll have to fix some things, no doubt. But at least it's not only that it's the hometown kid coming back. It's not. It is that, but it's not only that. It is, you know, with Jeff Brohm, what you're going to get from him. Do you not?
Yes.
I mean, whether he was at Western Kentucky or he was at U of L or he was at Purdue, anywhere else this guy has been, you have felt that, hey, he is going to make the passing game. That was your entire postgame show after the Governor's Cup, Mark, was the passing game. You know that he may have some defensive issues. There might be this or that or the other. Understandable. He had some coaching gaffes in the, you know, this season that cost them a couple different games. We all understand that. But in the end, this is better for everybody but Purdue. Scott Satterfield gets to pivot down the road to a job that doesn't match him. He gets to pivot down the road. He gets those years, right, added on to his contract. He resets his shot clock the way that, quite frankly, like a Mike White did going from Florida basketball to Georgia basketball this past offseason. It's good for him. I tend to think it's probably not good for Cincinnati, but this is good for U of L as well. They now, if you believe this, and I do, they now can go get Jeff Brohm something that would have happened 12 months ago, right? Had the entire Vince Tyree, Neely Bendapudi, the entire disaster that happened there, you had to wade through a year. And the other thing that I find interesting is what Louisville fans had to go through. And it reminds me a little bit of Kentucky fans. They got the recruiting pixie dust, the magic trick. Did they not? That got them through the offseason and into this season. That everybody knew after the Governor's Cup that nobody, you know, no one was happy with Scott Satterfield. The only thing he could do in the offseason was to do the John Calipari magic trick, right? And Mark, he was able to do that. And
shockingly.
Shockingly. No, I mean, it surprised me. It goes away with Syracuse, and we know how the rest of the season played out. And so Scott Satterfield, you know, the last thing I would say would be this. It's fascinating. I'm sure you guys talked about this, how he's not a lame duck coach, Mark. He had 2 years on that deal.
Yeah.
To where he walked away from the best recruiting class in Louisville football history because he didn't believe, one of the reasons, he didn't believe deep down he could develop them. I mean, that had to be it. If you're Scott Satterfield and the pay is the same at Cincinnati, this year, you know, this coming year, I don't think we were expecting 9-3, given that these guys were freshmen, but you show signs. Those freshmen show signs. Pierce Clarkson show signs. That is something that you can sell. And they didn't feel that comfortable that they, in 2 years, would be able to keep and get something out of this class that would get them all paid at U of L or somebody else. So they took the first thing, they took the only thing, and in 8 days of waiting, the only thing out there was Cincinnati football.
Listen, I think you're a million times right. Josh heard this is the best solution that could have happened. Not only did he get to unload Scott without having to fire him, he didn't have to pay him. He gets paid for him to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
And look, I think Josh was right to sit down there and say, "Hey, I can't give you more money. I just watched what happened there. You're 0-3 against Kentucky, and Scott is weird in Louisville football history. He's the only guy who's ever found a way to land in the middle." Everyone's been a great success, or they've been a disaster, and they've either left or they've been fired. And Scott found a way to be like that house guest that won't leave. But he also won't make anything better, not like you're wanting to. And so he found a way to save face and find, quote-unquote, a job. And I think we had Chris Fanini on, who was like, Cincinnati was on Sean Lewis from Kent State.
Yeah.
Option D. And Scott sort of fell in their laps. Everyone sort of gets what they want out of it. And yeah, you have an opportunity. I think it is Brohm or bust.
Again.
And it's not, now you agree with me on this, it's not analogous to Kenny Payne. We're not talking about a guy who's never been a head coach before.
Right. Oh, I agree with that. I agree with that. The only caveat, and Grossman brought this up, and I did so with Pat Forty, is with Chris Mack, it didn't feel like there was some big search, right? We knew it was Chris Mack, and, you know, we're still surprised, maybe some people are, that Chris Mack didn't work out. Kenny Payne, you went through a similar, you know, where you knew it was going to be Kenny Payne. That, you know, Louisville is doing these quote-unquote searches where we kind of know who the guy is. And any other time, Sharon Moore at Michigan, we had Adam Rinberg on the set. What about John Summerall? Now, he's the Kentucky guy, so you may want to stray away from that, you know, give me what that means. But any other time, I'd be fine with those guys. But no, there's no doubt about it. It's Brohm or bust, and ultimately the legacy of Scott Satterfield was losing to Mark Stoops. It was losing to Kentucky. It was losing games and not being able to get a quarterback in 4 years. I mean, Cincinnati hired a coach, an offensive coach, who can't throw the football and can't get a quarterback. I mean,
yeah, two guys who can't get quarterbacks.
I mean, Ennis, he never got a quarterback.
Andy, if you had DraftKings odds or whatever, what number would you take to be able to, or would you need to gamble that Malik Cunningham applies for like a seventh year at Cincinnati?
Oh, really?
I mean, they love each other, is what I'm saying.
I mean, they do love each other. If it's possible, I'd put it up there because he's not going to go pro. And the NIL deal's a pretty good. I mean, look at Oscar Tshiebwe. Look at some of the other guys, Hunter Dickinson, around the country that are not pro players. I don't know. I would still probably put that rather low. No offense. I think. I mean, don't those?
I don't think you can rule it out.
I mean, okay, good. Well, I mean, do they really want each other? Malik again? Are we going to do this again?
Andy, aren't you fascinated?
Going to the Big 12, Ennis. This is not a. It's not AAC,
way, did you,
right?
The graphic that was put out by Cincinnati today, this listed that Scott had three NFL draft picks.
Yeah,
Cincinnati had nine last year.
I mean, Fickle's a dude. That's the other part of this. Fickle's a beast. I mean, the dude could have had how many jobs over the last three years?
Supposedly Notre Dame wanted him.
Any Power 5 job that opened up would have taken him. I mean, if Louisville could have gotten him, it would have been a tremendous hire.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
All right, we got folks that have been waiting. If you want to jump in here, we're simulcasting here. This is extended coverage. And Andy, lay out for folks here. I just want to make sure I understand exactly what's happening here. After you and I go up until 7 o'clock, Ethan Moore?
Yeah, no, Taylor Lynch, Grossman, Spencer's going to be there, whoever else wanders in. And then at 8 o'clock, Ethan will join, and the guys will go to 9, 10 o'clock. And I don't know, you tell me. About 10 o'clock's probably enough, right? I mean, what do you think?
For today, I don't think anything's going to get done tonight that we need to be around for that. That would be...
We got a Brahm one later in the year, or later in the week.
Exactly, we can't do it all right
just
now.
Just looking at another job like last time.
Right, exactly.
Like, this time he's looking at Florida State, apparently.
I wonder if that that new president lady, Schatzel, right? It was like, Schatzel. What the hell have I got myself into here?
welcome, Schatzel. Welcome.
You weren't sleeping, were you?
Things get a little weird around here.
Let's get Chuck in here next. Chuck, welcome into ESPN Louisville's coverage of Coaching Search 2022. What's up?
What's up, Mark?
How you doing, buddy?
Doing all right, man. You think if they get Jeff, they bring his little brother Brian in?
Oh, I would think that he'd want to bring as much of that staff as possible. Yes, I do.
Is he up there with him in Purdue?
Yes, he is. He's offensive coordinator up there, quote unquote.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Hey, I got a thing for Satterfield up in Cincinnati. WKRP in Cincinnati.
Andy, thank you for the call. The Angels' envy is flowing everywhere, buddy.
I like it. You opened up that bottle, didn't you?
Oh, now, absolutely.
How many bottles were brought in?
Just one, just mine. Well, Angel and I have been talking about this for weeks, about like, are we going to break this thing open when he leaves? And then I was like, man, we're never going to get to drink that bottle. Because they're good. They were playing better. They're going to stick around. And then he leaves. I was like, we are breaking that bottle open today. Andy, I had salad for lunch.
Oh, no.
Sensible salad. Yep. Sensible. And now I've had some of this Angel's Envy, and apparently all the callers have too.
Okay, well, here's the thing. But how many bottles did Sat bring in? Were there five? Was it you, Blake, Peter, Maben, Rummage?
One.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But five were brought in for the station, I believe, right? Am I wrong?
I got one. I know. Did Marcus and Steve both get one? That would be four.
There were at least four, but I got to think if they brought Maben one, they brought Rummage one, right? I mean, the whole Scott Satterfield working
fools. Did we ever get one?
No, who? So it would have been you.
Drew.
Oh, no, it would have been Drew. Drew got one. I'm pretty
there's
sure Drew
five.
Got one.
There's
yeah, there's five.
Five.
There's five. Yeah.
Did you get one, Andy?
I did not get one.
Really?
No.
They're probably a lot cheaper than they were yesterday.
I don't want that anyway. Just the Angels' envy, not the autograph.
I'm actually, okay.
Yeah, I don't want the autograph. Yeah, I don't want the autograph. But I mean, there's still people. I don't know how many people still have like the Patino and the Jurich one.
Okay, so I drank the Charlie Strong one when he left.
Yeah, so everybody I know has drank all those.
Right.
I don't know anyone who's still hoarding them and displaying them in their man cave. I don't know.
Did the value of that bottle go up or down today?
It went down. I mean, Scott Satterfield, his time here is just.
Angel says there was never
any
value.
It's just bland, right? It's the bland Bozich chicken that you always talk about. Like, it's just kind of bland.
Andy, what do you make of the fact that Tyler Griever made a trip all the way to Cincinnati for that press conference with Scott in Cincinnati today? And then when they had the breakout sessions with Scott and with the athletic director, they told him that it was only for Cincinnati media.
Oh, is that what happened? That's not surprising whatsoever.
If you have to fence the audience for your coaching hire, you know what you did.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, what would here's the one thing that I'll buck back on, just on some of the stuff. Like, I don't think Satterfield, like, coaches never, this never gets handled the way that people want. No, of course. Yasir Abdullah waking up and finding on Twitter that his coach is gone or whatever it is, that's not the right way. Okay, it's not, but that kind of stuff doesn't bother me. I mean, to me, Scott Satterfield not doing what he needed to do on the field and not getting a quarterback and not winning games and not beating Kentucky, those are the things why I'm good with him going. Scott Satterfield, the way that he may have left and not letting everyone know at the exact time, that stuff, I mean, come on. You've been through this, Mark, how many times? That doesn't bother you anymore, does it?
The not meeting with him. Andy, the only reason I think that it's worth pointing out that he didn't have a meeting when he left is that he has, well, hell, he went right to Cincinnati and positioned himself as a guy who's going to, he's always talked about himself as if he is more.
Right.
That he's the relator. I'm the culture guy. We're going to love them up. The connections. They're going to play for each other. We're going to connect with them. We're going to find out their why. We're going to motivate them from the inside. If anyone was going to go out of their way to make sure that they heard it from him first, it should have been him.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But in the end, I mean, I don't know. I guess, I don't know if I want to call him a fake and a phony, but you can. I mean, all that's fine until you're like, okay, now I'm making $3.5 million from you. Now it's go time, right? I mean, I don't know. That stuff just doesn't, like, to me, that wasn't a huge talking point on my show today, just because I'm not as worried about that stuff. These players will get a new coach in here. If it's Jeb Brohm in 5 days, you know who's going to love it? Those guys. You know who's going to love playing for him? You know, those guys. Do you think, let me ask you this, and again, I guess what, 267-9680,
yep.
UPS Jobs text line 437-9680, Taylor Lynch and company will be on here on 93.9 The Ville, ESPN 680, the app, and everything else. I mean, streamers, we're still flying along here, so we're going to keep going. You can call in, text in. What do you make of recruiting class, Pierce Clarkson, Steve Clarkson? You know, we've had fun with it, but I believe there are a lot of truthful elements that, listen, Scott Satterfield got set up with a pretty good recruiting class here, and he's never, like, he was getting ready to have the most talent he's ever had, Mark, in his entire career, whether it be at U of L or it be at App State. And, you know, he walks away from that. What do you make of that? Because, this is one of the first times where we have been through a coaching search, have we not, Mark? And, you know, a coach leaves, and it's not weeping and gnashing of teeth that you're going to lose your entire recruiting class. I don't feel that way.
Well,
or
no,
should I?
No, I don't feel that way either. Andy, we took calls for 3 hours, and I didn't hear from anyone who was sad about this. And the ironic,
the ironic
thing about the whole process here, and I'm talking about from last year when we did extended coverage of the news, the simultaneous news that they were going to keep Scott and that Vince was interviewing with Florida State. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
How fast has a year gone by here?
That was some good stuff.
But the whole year since then has been Louisville having incredible recruiting success in football, which no one saw coming, and no one thinking Scott is really responsible for it.
Right.
It's been incredibly weird. I don't think anyone thinks that Reuben Owens and Pierce Clarkson and DeAndre Moore and all these guys are going to go to Cincinnati. In fact, I don't think any of them are going to go to Cincinnati. No one. People are like, are they going to come?
No.
Are we going to lose them or not? I don't think anyone's worried about Scott taking them because I don't think anybody thinks he's going to come play for him.
No, you would be worried about the big boys with him. I'm not. No, I mean, if Scott Satterfield took somebody, it would be someone more down the offer sheet, right? I mean, it wouldn't be one of the top guys. And I'm not fearful at all. And, you know, Satterfield now has to recruit against the new Louisville coach, Jeff Brohm, and Vince Merrill still. You should get Vince Merrill, Jeff Brohm. How about that? Would you like that? You and Vince be friends?
We're already friends.
You friends?
He loves
you guys.
Me.
Friends? Does he love you?
He DMs me. Is that that's love, right?
Love you, freeze.
Shut up.
Oh goodness! Not anymore. Too, that's gone. True.
Yeah, that's right. He had to relinquish control, so now I'll be getting it from some Auburn analyst or something.
Has he given up control at Auburn before you get an analyst tweet? It's a great point. I have no
maybe,
idea.
I tell you what, I wouldn't it be funny if you found out, like, if you DM Hugh Freeze now, like, you get, like, an automated reply from whatever analyst is. This is Tyler. I'm a sports administration grad student. I've been tasked with managing Hugh Freeze's Twitter DMs today.
By the way, we did
Please send your height and measurements.
We did see you doing a little battle with Cooper Hassan, you and Biscuit.
Cooper yes, wants, Cooper he can wants shut Urban up Meyer. About Urban Meyer. Cooper Hassan, Urban shut Meyer. Up about Urban Meyer. It's not happening. Fred, you've waited forever. Welcome in to our extended coverage here. What's up, buddy?
Indeed I have.
What's up, buddy?
Watch this dismount, Sweeney. There's three givens in life: death, taxes, and you bums on Floyd Street making me sick. It just was like you said a year ago when you jerks made a fool of yourselves and had the stuff going down last year with old Vincey Poo. Now let me tell you something.
That this is one of your people, Andy.
You bum. You.
All right. Come on.
That Luther.
That was quote-unquote Fred, who waited a really long time to go, you bums!
He waited 40 minutes to call you a bum.
To say, you bums!
That's what you get, Spencer. That's what you get.
This is wild side over here, man.
By the way, I'm looking at a picture right now of Tony Vannetti in all black, standing next to Jeff Brohm when Brohm was at Western Kentucky. They were at a Buffalo Wild Wings. What do you think of that? This is the other thing. I'm not surprised
Tony's not driving a Honda around town.
This is the other thing you're not ready for. This is like the Catholic guys are going nuts on this, Ennis. Like they're going crazy.
Andy, who does Jerry Eves want? Just wondering.
I don't know.
Okay. Brian, welcome into ESPN Louisville's continuing coverage of Coaching Search 2022. What's up?
I can promise you I'm not from the other side, nor have I touched the Angels' envy this evening. So you're getting a clear-headed, hopefully logical call here. So if I'm against programming this evening, please cut me off at any moment.
you're fine.
Well, I think this is going to be an interesting case study of what NIL is really doing to these recruits if the majority of this class does stay together regardless with this transition of the coach. I am really, really curious as a college football fan to see how this actually works out in the next, 3-4 weeks until National Signing Day, and to see what exactly happens. So that's the first point. The second point is I've been a Louisville fan since I was a little kid. Without getting into too much gory detail, been around the Brohm family my entire life in some way, shape, or form. Love him to death. If it works out, fantastic. If it doesn't, he's got his reasons, and he's always been his own man. And I remember there were times where folks were all on him about why in the world would you pick a podunk University of Louisville football team that can't get out of their own way instead of going to one of the big boys, and he chose here. He's always done his own thing, and I respect him for doing it. So if he doesn't come here, great. If he does come here, fantastic. I think regardless, the program will be okay. Now, that also being said, I have a group of guys that travel to go see one away team every year. Once we joined the ACC, we were constantly going out and seeing a game at a away field every year. And I was really impressed his first year, Sat's first year, when we got a chance to be able to see a lot of his App State team come to Wake Forest after the game and, go see him, go talk to him. I thought, man, this dude's going to be all in. And then the South Carolina thing happened. Well, we went to Syracuse this year, and we were literally behind the bench at Syracuse. And Josh Hurd, God love Josh, was probably less than 50 yards from where we were sitting. And there was, you could tell the team was already starting to come apart. There was chatting from between the offense and the defense. There was chatting to folks in the stands. And all I heard all offseason was, we're more together. We know how to finish. We're a winning football team. We're doing all the things that we need to do. And when we lost the game the way we did at Syracuse this year, all my buddies look at me as I am the little Mary Sunshine. I'm always trying to be positive about everything and trying to put a legit spin on it. Guys, I'm not going to lie. I walked out of there and got in that Uber and went back to our hotel, and I was dejected. My buddies looked at me and was like, dude, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, man, I can't do this like this anymore. I can't keep investing. I feel like I am putting more in as a fan than the coaches are as a staff. Now, I'll be honest, I saw Deion Branch on the sidelines cleaning things up, pulling things together, and the fact that they literally announced him as being the head coach for this bowl game. I'm like, dude, I'm really excited about that. I mean, just simply because it feels like he cares. And as a fan, somebody that has lived and bled with this team for the last 40-plus years, all I ask is for somebody, I don't care if it's Jeff, I don't care if it's Deion Branch, I don't care if it's Easter Bunny. I just want somebody who cares half as much as I do, and that I am begging and pleading for somebody to really give up a darn as much as I do. And Bobby always acted like he was looking for the next best thing. Craig Thorpe looked like somebody who was way over his head and couldn't keep it under control. You know, Sat this time looked like he was in it, but not really in it. I just want somebody to be in it as much as Coach Snell was. You know, I mean, I watched that opening press conference with the team at Colorado with Deion Sanders today, and as I'm sitting there watching it, he just talks about we will win. And that was the attitude and what I got being around Coach Schellenberger. And if we could have that, we will. I don't ask for a national championship team. I ask for somebody that looks disciplined, flies around, is good offensively, solid defensively, and somebody that nobody really wants to play. And that's all we can ask for. I don't ever want to be that team that is just a pushover. I want to be a team that nobody wants to play because it is going to be a bar fight every time they play.
All right, Brian, I'm sorry. I appreciate the call. I had to jump in there. Texter says, by the way, that the Easter Bunny would win the Egg Bowl. Well done on that. A lengthy call there, Andy. You know what, Andy? In the end, that caller, at least, I think, did capture the biggest problem people had with Scott's whole tenure, which was the feeling that it turns out was justified that they all cared about this a lot more than Scott did.
Yeah, you know, that was always something that I know was fought, and you having to deal with the post-game shows, Mark, I know that was something that was always fought. To me, the way that I viewed Louisville was a different version. I'll give you a New York Giants reference. Before this year, it felt hopeless. Quite frankly, it felt hopeless. And with Louisville, were they going 2-10? Were they going 3-9? No, Mark, they were not. So it was hopeless in different ways. Like Indiana, it's hopeless, right?
Yep.
And so Louisville, you know, it's a different hopelessness that, you know, maybe it's closer to a Nebraska or something like that. That, you know, the further we started to talk about everything we were talking about, you felt like was, well, you know, back in 2016, right? In 2017, you get further and further away from that. And year after year goes by and you're a 6-win team, you're a 7-win team. And then, Mark, you're not part of the story and you're not part of the fun of college football. And I think on top of that, if Josh Hurd would have fired Scott Satterfield this year, one thing we would have said is, you know, the college football playoff is expanding. And does that mean I think that just any old ACC team is going to get in? No, of course. We know who is going to have priority. and everything else, but you gotta feel some sort of hope. And I feel like the Louisville fan base has been without that for at least three seasons, and you were going to have to wait at least two more with Scott Satterfield before you got there. Not every freshman coming in was going to be able to play next year. And so now we'll see, man. But I think, you know, to me, caring, not caring, I won't judge that as much. That's fine if people do. If they go spend their money and they're going to Syracuse and everything else, God bless them. To me, it was feeling hopeful and hopelessness. And that's been some of the bigger feelings I think some of my Louisville buddies have had.
I think you've been right. I think that just the sense also that if it isn't perfect, if every situation doesn't work out exactly as it should, they were going to lose. And I think Louisville fans remember what it's like to have a football coach that you win because he provides you more than the other guy does. And yep. I don't think that people really had that feeling. All right, stick around yep. with us here. Continuing coverage coming after Andy and I here. So we'll take a quick break and let you guys continue on here. You're listening to ESPN Louisville's extended coverage of Coaching Search 2022 here. We'll be back.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit suedistracteddriver.com.